we present the News Quiz with your host, Sandy Toksvig.
Hello. Welcome to the News Quiz. We start with a cutting from the newsletter of the German Historical Institute, read by Neil Sleet.
A lecture by Professor Welzer, entitled How Ordinary People Become Mass Murderers, has been cancelled due to unforeseen circumstances.
And our thanks to Mary Rose Cheadle for sending that in. Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first on my right, after a long absence, a return of the journalist Victoria Mather, along with the stalwart Andy Hamilton. And opposite them on my left, the woman who drove me to ruin with Buckfast, Susan Kalman, along with the man we can't seem to shake off, Jeremy Hardy. Andy, which bruiser has been battered by a bullying brouhaha?
This is the story of Mr. Brown, of course, after the Andrew Rawnsley book, and then the intervention of Christine Pratt. She was enraged because after these talk of complaints about bullying, the Prime Minister had not followed due process. Now, personally, I don't want a Prime Minister who follows due process. I don't want a Prime Minister who has an advisor who comes to him and says, Barack Obama is outside, he wants to talk to you about possible war with Iran, but first of all, you have to go to your assessment in human resources, because Melanie on reception says you were really quite rude to us.
The thing I really enjoyed about the story, there was people coming out in defence of Gordon Brown, people going, oh, no, he's actually a very nice man. He's got a bit of a temper. And I just expected Dick Emery to come out at one point and go, oh, you are awful, but I like you.
There were some fantastic Freudian slips by the politicians who were defending him. Because, first of all, John Prescott came on and condemned it all as twittle twattle, which is fantastic.
Twittle twattle.
Which is absolutely fantastic. But then they trotted out Harriet Harman, who was desperately trying to correct this image that had been created of Gordon Brown. And she said, I mean, all right, nobody would say he was a shrinking violent. That's the classic. Because presumably her brain is going, don't say violent, don't say violent. And then Peter Mandelson was trying to explain that Gordon Brown was a passionate man and that he was impatient, but somehow managed to say that he was an inpatient.
The Daily Mail, which is not actually given to a sense of humour, had the whole bullying story. And then on the other side, they just had a little thing that said, danger of legalising assisted suicide, says Brown.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he wrote an article, didn't he? A very impassioned article arguing against assisted suicide, which in political terms, of course, is the direction Jack Straw's been trying to push him in for the last... I mean, he's stopped short of leaving airline tickets to Switzerland on his desk, but...
That is extraordinary there, Victoria. I mean, the Daily Mail, not only not given to humour, not usually given to news, so...
I think it could actually work in his favour if he just cracked at the right point, because he's been goaded by these two public school boys every week in the Commons. He just sort of tries to bluster back at them, and they're like, the Prime Minister, and you want him to say, I've had just about enough of you two reshapes! And say no!
If you go to a Scottish man enough, no matter how posh they appear on the outside, their inner Rab C always comes out. If you look at the revelations in the book, it said at one point that Gordon Brown forcefully shoved somebody. It sounds like a Mills and Boone. It's brilliant. Yeah. It's like Gordon Brown's this kind of dark Lothario who's shoving people around his office. It's quite sexy.
He does seem to work with some very delicate flowers, because there's one bit where he got angry and he thumped the back of the headrest in the car, and they said it startled his bodyguard. So what sort of bodyguard he's got? I'm sorry, I can't work with sudden surprise.
Seem to have come out worst of the whole thing is the National Bullying Helpline. They put a statement on their website criticising their patrons for resigning at the time they need them most, and I thought it would actually be handy if somebody could pick up the phone and speak to them at this difficult time, but unfortunately...
But she was fantastically vague from the outset, wasn't she? She said, we've had two or three calls And John Humphrey says, well, how many is it, two or three? She said, well, there were two. I know there were two. And then there were another two. So he said, well, and then she went on Jeremy Paxman and she said, I took a few calls personally. And he said, how many was that? She said, one.
But she's a fool. You do not disclose confidential information about the government on the media. You leave it on the train. That's tradition. In his new book, The End of the Party, Andrew Rawnsley claims that Gordon Brown bullied staff at Number 10 and in 2006 had a blazing row with Tony Blair shouting, you've ruined my life. On being told HM Revenue had lost computer disks with the personal data of 20 million people, Brown leapt across the room and grabbed his deputy chief of staff by the collar shouting, they're out to get me. Don't be silly. No one's out to get you, Gordon. Nobody gives a tuppenny toss about you. 2 points to Mr. Hamilton. Susan, which narrow-minded group has been harshly judged?
This is about judges and diversity.
Because you used to be a lawyer, didn't you?
I did used to be a lawyer. I was a corporate lawyer, so I didn't get to go to court and swan around in my gown and go, you're guilty then and you're guilty now, or whatever. I don't know. that's what they do. Oh, you're lying. It really annoys me, actually, because the report said that there needs to be more diversity in judges, not because essentially it's an elitist profession which doesn't allow people through university, etc., etc., as a larger social issue. It was because the people in court, the criminals, alleged criminals, didn't feel comfortable with the person judging them because they weren't from the same area or hood as they were from.
They're saying they should not always wear a white wig. Why not blonde? Why always black? Why not something strapless?
I'm all for explaining the process to people because I think we do need to explain legal processes more and more. So let's say I leave tonight and I assault Jeremy.
Help yourself.
So I've assaulted Jeremy quite harshly.
I never saw a thing.
But I'm some eagle-eyed copper spotted me. I'm in court, and the judge in front of me is some very posh-sounding person. I go, I'm not doing it. I'm sorry. I need someone from Glasgow, right? Otherwise, I'm not listening to what you're saying. I'm no. The issue is, are we encouraging enough young people from all backgrounds in the profession? Instead of saying, oh, you little criminal, are you not feeling comfortable? Here, have some Ribena. You know?
You're a criminal, go to jail, rot!
Because maybe we need diversity through the whole thing. I mean, at the moment, you can only plead guilty or not guilty. What about pleading coy?
But you know that in Scotland we've got the only legal system in the world that has three verdicts, which makes us, because we've guilty, not guilty and not proven, which means essentially that you are guilty, they just didn't have enough proof to do it, which is a lovely Scottish way of getting around not really making a decision about anything, which is what you can see from Gordon Brown.
A new report says that women, ethnic minorities, disabled and gay people applying to be judges should be given preferential treatment to make the judiciary more diverse. Only 19% of judges are women, and the rest just like wearing wigs and gowns for the hell of it. The report also calls for judicial candidates to demonstrate experience of diversity in their private lives. Isn't that the kind of thing normally gets a judge into trouble? Right? 2 points to Susan. Jeremy, whose visit to a boutique is at odds with their cuts?
Oh, is this boutique bank?
It is boutique banking.
The Tories, who are supposed to be very upset and worried about debt, have borrowed some money off a bank that used to belong to Jonathan Aitken, which says so much about the Tory party, is that you have a member who's not only been in prison but owned a bank. Osborne looks to be terribly concerned about our deficit being £178 billion. You think, the trouble is, George, before you were Shadow Chancellor, I doubt whether you'd ever spoken a sentence that had a sum of money in it so small as £178 billion. That's probably his annual bill for having the beaters neutered before.
It's a slight mistake because the Conservatives keep trying to persuade us that they're now the party of the people and they're not elitist and, you know, and they go to this boutique bank. And I would have been more persuaded that they were really a party like mine if they'd gone to someone like Ocean Finance. I would like to have seen David Cameron just sitting at home watching Loose Women. An advert comes on with Carol Vorderman and he goes, that's the answer to our problems. Yes, I own my own house.
I'd like to see the boss of the boutique bank or the television say, why not consolidate all your debts into one ruddy good party?
Osborne, because I don't understand about finance, he says the country's going to face savage and swinging cuts if it doesn't reduce the deficit. And the way we reduce the deficit is savage and swinging cuts. How do you swinge? Anybody?
It's whinging in rhythm, isn't it?
It is.
Can anything swinge apart from a cut?
Well, I don't know.
The worst kind of swinging is swinging paper cuts.
Yeah. That's horrid, isn't it?
I swinged once in America.
Did you?
Was it San Francisco?
No, it was Provincetown. It was a great summer.
Which summer was it? Because I might have been there. 2 points to Jeremy. The Tories are borrowing £5 million from a boutique bank to fund their election campaign, a campaign which will focus on the need to reduce the public borrowing. The bank they're borrowing from used to be called Aitken Hume Bank, but changed the name because of its unattractive associations, which is fair enough. Who wants to be called bank these days? The political donations for the last quarter of 2009 are out. Most of the Tories' money came from millionaire businessmen, most of the Labour money came from unions, and most of the Lib Dem money came from a bring-and-buy sale in Truro. And on a personal note, can I just thank Mrs. Pardew for some of those lovely cakes she supplied? At the end of round one, the scores are Andy and Victoria have got 4 points, but so too have Susan and Jeremy. We start round two with a cutting from the BBC News website.
A US Justice of the Peace has been criticised for refusing to issue marriage licences to mixed-race couples. Mr. Bardwell retorted by saying he had many black friends and frequently married them.
Oh, thanks to Michael Hazelden for sending us that. Andy, who can teach Adam and Eve instead of the birds and the bees?
Oh, this is the cop-out, basically, that the government has inserted into the sex education bill. Basically, they use this weasel word, reflect. They said that at faith schools, they can teach sex education in a way that reflects their faith, which is obviously a massive exemption if you can teach a child that this is a condom, but if you use one, you will burn for all eternity. That is. It made me wonder why they singled out sex education. I mean, it seems a thin end of a very long wedge. Are they going to be allowed this dispensation on subjects like history? I mean, are they going to be allowed to teach a version where, you know, Henry VIII founded the Church of England because he was possessed by the devil? Or biology, human behaviour, he's shaped primarily by three forces, which are our genes, our environment, and that talking snake that tricked Adam and Eve. I mean, what?
I think there's more. There's swimming lessons. You could teach them how to walk on water, and then... So I have to say, I'm slightly in two minds about it, because people saying, oh, you know, it's a terrible thing that teachers should teach that homosexuality is wrong. Well, I think it slightly depends on what the question is. What started World War I? If you say homosexuality, that obviously would be wrong. And I think we should teach them that.
I think they should just go back to the way it was when I was at school, where we just weren't taught any sex education, and then it was just a really big surprise.
Yeah.
I kept expecting an exciting encounter with frog spawn that never came up.
We had painted slides, paintings of naked people, and this lady's voice saying, here is a painting of a man. Let us look at the man without his clothes. And here is a painting of a lady. Let us look at the lady without her clothes. The two meet and fall in love and get a mortgage together and then children follow. Thank you.
Do you know,
remember, dig for victory and walls have ears.
Do you know where I got my earliest sex education? And it was slightly inaccurate. I was about 10, I suppose.
I don't like the sound of this.
I got to stay up a bit late and I saw a play for today. And there was a scene where a man and a woman kissed. And then in the next scene, the lady said, I'm going to have a baby. Oh. So I went into my primary school and told everyone, I know how babies, the men and women kissing, that makes a baby. Which was logical. It took me 15 years to find out, but that's not actually how it happens.
Isn't it?
No.
Probably why I don't have children.
I went to a girls' boarding school and we weren't allowed any sex education, we weren't allowed to discuss sex. We weren't even allowed long-handled hairbrushes in the dorm. And I got a friend of mine, she's a teacher of biology in a girls' school, and, you know, they take in cucumbers and teach girls how to put condoms on a cucumber. You all right?
No, I'm just having a little...
Oh, little so there's excitement about the cucumber. Victoria, you must get out more.
They put cucumbers on condoms?
No, what they do is they take a cucumber.
No, condoms on cucumbers.
They take a cucumber and they put a condom on it. And anyway, she always did it with a gherkin because she wanted to prepare them for disappointment. So...
Can I just tell you that 34% of women would like to swap their guy for Cheryl Cole's wardrobe?
What, just the cupboard, or...?
No.
It's so much, I think... spacious, honestly. It's deceptive.
Oh, I could come out of that for years. State-funded faith schools will be allowed to teach sex education in a way that reflects the school's religious character following last-minute amendments to the government's Children's Schools and Families Bill. Sadly, this right does not extend to non-faith schools. So if you're a head teacher who hates gay people for non-religious reasons, I'm afraid you're on your own. It's a sad day for secular homophobes in the education system. 2 points to Andy. Victoria. Where do doctors want to ban doctoring?
Ah, is this about very, very thin models?
It is, yes.
And they want to have warning labels on pictures of very, very thin models.
By that token, all women who wear makeup and heels and perfume should have to walk around with big signs on saying, I don't really look like this.
In the morning, you'll be disappointed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's... Yes, there's an issue regarding women who are thinner that are airbrushed, but at the same time, you get mobile phones, and in the adverts, they're faster than they actually are. You get food that's more delicious. I mean, I'm not going to name it, but I had some form of bake with meat in it the other day, and it was boofing. And it looked lovely in the advert, I tell you. So it's the same thing. I mean, look at David Cameron did it, didn't he? You know, are you meant to just have a sign on that just saying, this has been airbrushed? Everyone, I mean, adverts do it.
Have you seen the picture recently of Cilla Black and Lulu, who are of an age, airbrushed to look 22?
No, they've both got pictures of W.H. Auden in their attic.
I mean, we're talking about Cheryl Cole. For years, they have doctored photos of Cheryl Cole because you see all those magazines and it shows her next to her husband, and it turns out she's actually standing next to a lying, cheating, ignorant tit.
I think, Sandy, in the interest of balance, yeah. I think I better stick up for Ashley Cole.
Oh, yes.
Which probably spells the end of my career, but there you go. Well, it seems to me, I mean, I read his comments. You see, the thing that apparently sort of was the breaking point was text sex. He said he was lonely. So, obviously, if you're lonely, you send a picture of your genitalia to a woman. I mean, that's a well-known cure for loneliness. We've all done that.
It was harder in the days of fax machines.
I'm still confused how sex texting works. Do the orgasms have no vowels in them?
I think they just come up with one of those little smiley faces.
All right.
2 points to Victoria. The Royal College of Psychiatrists have called for warning symbols to be placed on digitally altered images of celebrities and models to tackle low self-esteem amongst the public. The Royal College says we're all too obsessed with unobtainable physical perfection, and they are right. Let's be realistic. However vigorously you exercise, however hard most of you diet, you will not end up with a body like mine. So that's... Move on with your lives.
Well, they will if a tree falls on them.
That's fair enough. Somebody put Andy back on that rock and give him a fishing rod. There was a huge furore last year when a Japanese company massively doctored photos of one of its models. Toyota had photoshopped a functioning brake pedal onto a Prius.
We've got a Prius.
Doesn't surprise me.
Prius. I think it's Latin for, oh, my God, I can't stop. I But it was worth getting it for the moment when I was on Have I Got News For You with Jeremy Clarkson. We were in the green room. He said, what car have you got? I said, we've got a Toyota Prius. At least I thought that's what I said. But judging from his expression, I think I must have accidentally said, I am a paedophile.
Jeremy, which report proved a bitter, if ineffective, pill to swallow?
Now, I'm a bit conflicted on this because I have tried every alternative therapy that is available on account of my various ailments. I went to see a sociopath, actually. I went to see them for constipation. They scared the crap out of me. Homeopathy, which is the thing where they take a little bit, say you can't sleep, they get some coffee and they dilute it and dilute it and dilute it and so on, exponentially, until there is only an undetectable trace of it left in the water, and then they put that on a sugar pill and you take it, and it's supposed to have a memory of a tiny bit of stimulant, you see, and your body reacts to that, against that, making you fall asleep.
And so is it like a chicken pot noodle has a memory of a chicken? Is it that sort of...
Yes. A tiny, undetectable amount of it. But they've done tests on this, and they found it's roughly as effective as placebos, which is very effective.
Oh, I couldn't take a whole placebo. I'd have to cut it in half, I think.
A man from Boots was testifying in front... It was one of these select committees onto agriculture, amusement arcades, fisheries, sex, Bovril and industry. And they were grilling a man from Boots as to why they have a homeopathic range. And he said, well, it's not... Us selling it doesn't mean we think it's efficacious. It's just that there is a consumer demand for it, therefore we sell it. You think, well, you don't sell heroin, and there is a very clear demand for heroin, and it seems to be remarkably effective.
But it... sounds so much better than St. John's wort, doesn't it?
Yeah, if you had the choice of two.
A cross-party group of MPs have called for the NHS to stop funding homeopathy because there's no scientific proof that it works. Well, there's no proof that MPs work, but do we call for them to stop being funded? Oh, actually, we do. Homeopathy comes from the Greek homeo, meaning like, and pathy, meaning money for old rope.
So all we've learnt from this item is that human beings are fantastically suggestible and stupid.
Yeah.
That's what you think you've learnt.
Susan, who wants to put the science back into sci-fi?
Is it Perkowitz?
Sydney Perkowitz.
This was actually my favourite story of the entire week. He's annoyed. He's a scientist and he's annoyed that science fiction films aren't true to science. And so they're setting up a committee to ensure that science fiction films are in fact scientifically accurate. And I think they gave examples of very good films that, oh no, that just wouldn't happen at all. Avatar, that's just not probably going to happen in the next few years. I don't think that film should be shown now, to be honest. To be fair to the guy, he wants people to learn more about science, but essentially science is a wee bitty dull, right? Which is why we have science fiction, right? And I think if you start going down that route of going, well, no, scientifically that's not correct, you have to do it for everything. And essentially, it'd just be films about people going to work, having a really bad day, going home, having tea, sitting in their pants, watching telly, and then crying because their lives are rubbish. That would be every film ever made.
Decided that he thinks that superheroes should only have one power.
One power.
So, like, Superman could have X-ray vision, but he can't fly. So, what's he going to do? Get a job in airport security? I mean, it's...
Well, surely, if it's going to be accurate scientifically, then X-Men will be really, really lacklustre. You'll just have people like Egg and Spoon Race Man. He can run a bit while balancing an egg on a spoon. And Man Who Can Ping Rubber Bands at Flies.
Just imagine Doctor Who would be a story about a man with no formal medical qualifications whatsoever who has access to an old-fashioned police box that's slightly smaller on the inside than it is on the outside.
What if the Archers were forced to be realistic?
Because well, that's have you noticed in... that nobody has a dog in the Archers?
I mean, nobody has a dog, and occasionally people express progressive views, which would never happen in a rural farming community in the middle of England.
I once dreamt a superhero. I dreamt about a superhero called Complainer Man, who burst through the walls whenever you were too embarrassed to complain in a restaurant.
This thing would burst in.
I will complain for you.
They've second-guessed it, though, restaurant waiters now, because they don't say, is everything all right? They say, is everything all right for you? Which suggests that you're being picky if you don't think pubic hair and cress are the same thing.
Professor Sydney Perkowitz has argued that Hollywood movies should be more respectful of science and only contain one big scientific suspension of disbelief per film. Thus, no movie would be allowed two major transgressions of the laws of physics, or as we call her, Pamela Anderson.
What about Finding Nemo?
Well, I think they did find him. I think you're all right
no,
now.
They'll just stop. The fish won't speak and they'll just be caught. It'll be rubbish.
Yeah, anyway. And Dorothy will be eaten by the lion. Now, moving on. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along, Mr. Hamilton.
This is from Lynn Holloway, and it's from the BBC News webpage, and it says, Heather Wills from Austin, Texas, told the BBC that she was driving past when she saw the huge cloud of black smoke. As I got nearer, I could see flames leaping out of the building. The flames were two stories high. I could hear the glass windows shattering from the heat. My first thought was that it was a fire.
Ms. Mather.
This is from Catherine Free, who kindly sent it through Amazon. She said, I bought the Philips QT4045 beard trimmer as a replacement for my husband. The new model is very good with much improved style and battery life, but the on-off switch is difficult to use when fingers are wet or greasy. The older version was a simple push button.
Ms. Gallen.
This is from Neil Breakwell, and it's from The Telegraph. The Duke of Devonshire is prepared to give up his title if Labour abolishes hereditary peerage because aristocracy is already dead. The Duke, 65, said he would be happy to be known simply as Peregrine Cavendish.
Mr. Hardy.
This was sent in by Dave from Manchester. And it's a job advert from the Sale and Altrincham Messenger. It says, wanted, clerk to PO for Parish Council.
Let's take a look at the final score. Andy and Victoria have got 9 points, but this week's runaway winners are Susan and Jeremy with 13. Before we leave you, here is a cutting from the Norwich Evening News sent in by Martin Hinchcliffe.
A local woman was pestered by her ex-partner, who frequently knocked on her windows, put love letters in her post, and finally pushed half a melon through her cat flap.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Andy Hamilton, Victoria Mather, Susan Kalman and Jeremy Hardy. In the chair was Sandy Toxford and the news is read by me, Neil Sleet. The chair script was written by Simon Littlefield, Lucy Clark and James Sherwood, with additional material by Hannah George, John Luke Roberts and Gareth Gwynn. The producer was Sam Bryant.